Today is October 17th, 1974, a Thursday. The following interview is with Alvin Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R. The interview will take place in Mr. Snyder's office in the old executive office building, room 153. Terry Good will conduct the interview.
Well, to start with, when was it that you joined the White House staff?
September 22nd, 1969.
And how was it that you came to join the White House staff?
Herb Klein asked me to come here as his television assistant.
Had you known Herb in years before?
No, we had a mutual friend at CBS where I worked who had told Herb about my qualifications.
So when you came on September 22nd, you were to be his television liaison man?
No, TV consultant.
Consultant. What was your title? Has it been the same throughout the entire time?
I was assistant to Herb Klein up until the time he left a year and a half ago, whenever that was. Then I became staff assistant to the president, and I still hold that title.
Have your responsibilities changed to any marked degree since Klein left? If so, we might divide the interview up into two segments.
They have essentially changed since he left, right? Yeah.
Maybe we can just zero in on the first portion then. Mm-hmm. What were your responsibilities then when you were working under Mr. Klein?
My responsibilities included liaison with public information officers at departments and agencies in terms of their television efforts, which would include scheduling of cabinet, sub-cabinet secretaries on the major television interview programs.
Would this project have been one in which you alone were doing this scheduling, or was it in consultation with Herb Klein and other members of the White House staff?
I was in consultation with Herb.
Would it be a case of you two sitting down and saying, this particular program needs further publicity, let's get cabinet member so-and-so and see if we can arrange for an interview on Meet the Press or something of that sort?
It would work in two directions. That would be one of them, where we might propose to amplify an administration program that we place a either a White House or executive branch spokesman on a television program to discuss the particular program that the administration had underway. That's one direction. The other direction would be handling requests that came in from the programs themselves, such as the Sunday interview programs, Meet the Press, Face the Nation, Issues and Answers, the Today Show, the CBS Morning News, other major regional programs which were interested in talking with the key administration spokesman. So we would be a sort of funnel for these requests, and many individuals at the networks and stations knew by calling us that we could get them a quick yes or no and help them to gain access to a spokesman. We were in a position to get on the phone and call the top people here and try to convince them that the best thing would be to go on and talk about the particular program. So it worked both ways.
Over this period of time, would you say that you were involved in scheduling an administration spokesman on the average of, or I should say perhaps one or two administration spokesmen on the average of every week?
Oh, yes, I would say at least that number. It was a daily process where you would discuss appearances with several programs and attempt to work out suitable dates. And also by having a single source that sort of kept track of who was going on what, you would avoid spokesmen from bumping into each other perhaps on the same program and try to handle it more intelligently in terms of scheduling the top people.
You mentioned some of the programs that you would have been scheduling these people for. Did you often get requests from stations out in the nation where perhaps they were looking for someone who would come in and speak on a topic that was of regional importance to them?
Sure, yeah. We would do a lot of regional scheduling, and the Year of Cup Senate show in Chicago, and several dozen important programs around the country would keep in regular contact with us when they heard that ex-cabinet official was coming into town. Could you help us line up an interview with him? No matter of when the top official comes into town, of course it's a major story and everybody wants access to him, the newspapers and maybe 10 or 15 radio television talk shows. So the ones that conducted dialogue with us regularly would try to get us to help put that in a schedule, for example. And and on the other side, we would often call them to say that we had somebody coming to the to their area to talk about thus and so. Would you be interested in discussing that with him? And then so it worked both ways.
Would the administration spokesman prior to a trip out into the hinterlands contact this office and say, "Hey, I'm going to be hitting these cities. Is there anything I can do?"
Well, usually. It would work through his own department, public information officer, and we would meet regularly with the department public information chiefs to keep them abreast of what the shows were out there in the field that they ought to be interested in, because there were big factors in those communities. And so the particular cabinet secretary, let's say, would work through his public information officer. Then in turn, he could either do the scheduling himself or call me, and I would help him do it. And sometimes we would coordinate it. Generally, they would keep us informed of what shows they had locked in terms of what shows their people were going to do, so that, again, we could kind of coordinate and keep. If another cabinet secretary was going in the same day, then we'd say, "Hey, this cabinet secretary is doing this show, why don't you do the other one?" So it's just a sort of a traffic cop thing.
Well, then I can understand how you would be juggling a number of different activities or scheduling events every day then, wouldn't you?
Pretty much.
My initial reaction was, well, the three Sunday talk shows, mm-hmm. and that was the extent of...
Well, and you consider that, of course, the three Sunday talk shows try to cover the breaking news, and so that and try to make Monday morning headlines and request most often recognizable figures who would make some news for them, so that you're really speaking of the very top spokesman for these programs and the morning television shows. When you talk about the other major regional programs around the country, they're more interested in developing a dialogue and getting the individual on the air, and they don't necessarily have to or always request the top spokesman. They might take a sub-cabinet officer or a middle-level White House spokesman where a network program would go the other direction.
Did you do any traveling yourself?
I would travel a good bit with her. He went around the country addressing journalistic groups, holding news conferences himself. He did a lot of, he was probably the most active speaker on the White House staff, and he would go around and discuss administration programs and hold news conferences to talk about presidential policy. And I would frequently go with him and work as his assistant and lining up his schedule. And we would attend the major professional society conventions together, the Radio TV News Directors Association, the National Association of Broadcasters, and various other groups. We would keep in close contact with them, supply them speakers, for example. We would coordinate with them major speakers for their conventions and attend the conventions ourselves. And quite often Herb would be the speaker. And we would also line up regional press briefings around the country that which I worked on, and we would invite, I think we did maybe 6 or 8 or 10, I'm not sure how many, different areas of the country over a period of several years, where we brought in Secretary Kissinger and General Haig and other, both domestic and foreign policymakers in the executive branch to discuss with newspaper editors and television news executives administration policy. And these would be all-day sessions that where they could question our people, do interviews with them, and they were pretty successful, I think, in granting access to the top Washington officials, local people in various parts of the country who normally wouldn't have access to them to question them directly.
Did you appear on any of the television programs yourself, or were you more or less
the scenes? No, I don't think I ever did one. I think I preferred to handle the other people and advise them on what to do rather than doing it myself.
Your contacts then within the White House complex would have been primarily with Herb Klein. Would there have been other members of his staff that you would have been in consultation with?
Oh, I was in consultation with just about every member of the White House, I would say, over a six-year period in connection with scheduling.
Were there any that you were in daily contact with that stand out?
Well, Margita White and I would coordinate. She was Herb's administrative assistant, and put down on paper everything we're doing, so we kind of coordinate things. And Paul Costello, when he was over here.
Your contacts with the other members of the White House staff would have been as often calling them to see if they would be interested in appearing?
Pretty much, yeah. Saying we received a request from Face the Nation for such a date. Herb thinks it would be a good idea, maybe if you'd consider doing it, and so forth. And their office would usually, 90% of the time, call us if they received the offer directly and would ask us to handle it.
So this was a clearinghouse?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And I got into other things with Ms. Herb's television assistant. I was on the working group on cable television policy, the cabinet committee group, and each member, Herb was a member of the group, had a representative, and I was his. And that was a fairly lengthy project. We had regular meetings over a period of a year.
Was that group small enough that you could just name the people that were?
Well, that was chaired by Clay Whitehead, and at Romney was on. It was during the first term, so whoever was in the cabinet, Stans, Romney, Finch, most of the cabinet, and the domestic cabinet. And Garman was on it, representative White House people who would, have something to contribute to that
Did you travel overseas when the president took any trips overseas?
Yes, I went to Iceland. And I went on the most recent trips to Western Europe, Soviet Union, and the Middle East.
Were you assisting in handling any sort of television coverage while he was?
Well, that was the, when you mentioned earlier, the difference between the two jobs. When Herb left, I continued to do the scheduling and took over as well the responsibility of handling the president's major television appearances.
That would have been the function, as I understand it, that Mark Good had.
Right, I took over from him when he left, yeah. So he combined his office and mine into one office.
So during that period of time when he was here, you were not involved in handling the TV appearances of the president?
Correct.
Did you work with him in any, to
with
any
Mark?
Extent? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we would... We did quite a number of shows together that involved presidential participation. For example, when Barbara Walters' interview with the president, it came through both our offices, so we both handled it. And the 60 Minutes on CBS. Visit of the Italian foreign minister and state dinner. It was a big piece on CBS and interview with the president. And several other programs that the president was involved in. And also, I ought to mention, during this time when I served with Herb, I also did all of the scheduling and traveled some with the first family, with Tricia and Julie and Mrs. Nixon. Yeah, I would personally go with them, for example, if they had a major television interview, wherever it happened to be, just to make sure that things were done properly.
And when you say to make sure that things were done properly, do you mean in terms of setting up the...
Setting up, well, if Tricia did an interview with the Merv Griffin show in California, I would coordinate it with the program, and then... determine what, how long the interview would go, how much they wanted to talk about. And I'd go out there and work with the advance team to make sure she had the facilities and a room before the program, and that that the guests were all the same that they were supposed to be, and things went properly. You know, just someone who could be there to handle the details, so that she wouldn't have to.
And this was all the result of the experience you had prior to joining the White House staff.
Yes, that's right.
So when you walked into this job, it was not a brand new thing for you. It was something that you'd had experience at.
I'd worked in television and radio at CBS for 11 years before coming here, so I was familiar with broadcasting.
During this period of time when you were with her, would there be documents in file to reflect the work that you did?
Oh, I think there'd be a number of them, sure.
Would it be fair to assume that there at least 50% of these things would be documented, that we'd be able to track you for at least that percentage of your activities, or perhaps more?
Well, when we scheduled speakers on television, I would send around a memorandum to the White House staff and say that he's going to be on such a program at such a time, so that everybody would know about it. I don't know whether we save those things or not, or I would send a memo to the individual telling him, you know, reminding him that he had to be at a certain studio at a certain time. I imagine that we have a lot of this on paper.
Would most of the work that went into lining up one of these things have been done over the phone, face-to-face?
We did almost all of our work on the phone.
So there wouldn't be any letters in the file from...
Very rarely. they didn't, the program really never had to worry about dealing with us and confirming something by letter because they knew that was the business we were in and paid very close attention to it. So we would do it all on the phone, and quite often you really didn't even have time for paperwork. You'd line up somebody the night before for an early morning news interview, and you'd do it by phone, both with the individuals going on the program and with the program itself. So there wasn't really a need for paperwork.
Was the lead time frequently that short?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It worked both ways. You could do it, depending on what the news was, they'd call up 6, 7 o'clock at night, or we'd call them, or even later. Sometimes it was done in the middle of the night. Not very often, but occasionally.
But that did
happen. Yeah, oh, sure.
So there wouldn't have even been an opportunity for a memo to somebody saying,
no.
Hey, got a telephone call from so-and-so, he'd like to have somebody speak on this and that.
It just slows down the process. There's no need for it. You know, we're all in the same building, and it's easier to call them on the IO or go over there and discuss it than to put it on paper.
Would there be cases where a follow-up letter or memo might have been written either by the, let's say, the television company to you?
Oh, sometimes, you know, if they thought it was particularly good. Didn't happen very often, but that kind of thing would probably be in the file, too.
So by and large, about all we can do is assume that any appearance by an administration spokesman on television would have been an event that you participated in.
Well,
we won't necessarily be able to find any documentation of that.
That's right. I wouldn't say all of the appearances, but that's what we were trying to do is coordinate everything. And occasionally, we would be surprised somebody would show up in the morning, and we wouldn't be notified, and the signal corps would not have tape recorded it, and the press secretary might not have watched it. And you see, these things are another reason for telling people what's going to be on, so everybody's alerted, and if news comes out of it and the press secretary gets a call, he ought to be aware of what was said. So occasionally this like anything, you know, there'll be problems in the process, and occasionally we wouldn't get word, but most usually we knew who was going on what program, and so that we could all watch it and find out what was being said, and were able to answer questions that might come up as a result of the interview. And more often than not, we had a hand in generally coordinating the appearance over that period of time.
Was your role in this one of simply providing Herb with support and working out a lot of the logistics and details after the decision had been made, or would you have been a person who would have perhaps gone to him and say, this particular program is receiving a lot of attention, I think we ought to have somebody?
Well, frequently I would do that. There are many times I really wouldn't need to consult him if the you know, if it were a decision that I could make myself, if I had a question about it, I would go to him.
So there would have been occasions where you would have been the one that said, I think we ought to do this and have this person appear and work out the arrangements. Did you also become involved with scheduling or at least consulting with members of Capitol Hill? Were there
occasionally, sure.
You might call somebody up there that was at least favorable to an administration program and ask if they might appear?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The line of command then in this office was from you to Herb Klein for that period of time.
Right.
You didn't report to anybody else?
Well, when Herb left, Ken Clausen took over his job. not immediately. And then there was some division of Herb's responsibility between Ron Ziegler and Ken. So that I would work with both of them, with one or the other, if I had a question of the type that, that would require decision by Herb Klein, for example. And that would be in the scheduling area. And when I took over for Mark, Mark Good, that portion of my responsibilities came under Ziegler. And the scheduling came under Clausen to a greater extent than Ziegler.
So from that point on, you had two bosses in effect.
I would, in effect.
Mm-hmm. Were you operating rather independently of them?
Pretty much. I had been doing it for so long that it was sort of self-perpetuating.
Well, when Herb left then and you took over Mark Good's role and you began to report to Clausen and Ziegler, your activities did not really change. They increased somewhat.
Increased, correct.
How about the documentation of your activities during this period?
Well, there were memos that were sent concerning Oval Office addresses and generally it was of the nature of advising people who had to know when the president was going on for one reason or another, such as the GSA, like getting the furniture out of the room, and the usher's office about the television crews that would be coming in, and the White House police about the mobile vans on West Executive. And so it'd be a procedural thing and getting the program on the air. But I would say we probably have documents with respect to each time the president appeared on television.
But again, a lot of your work was still being done in face-to-face meetings or over the telephone.
That's correct.
Did you have any sort of a set routine during the course of the day, Al? Did you know that every morning at 7:30 or 8 o'clock or something you were going to be attending one of the White House staff meetings?
Oh, occasionally we would fall into a pattern where we might have a communications office meeting every morning at 9. But that generally wouldn't last for more than a month or two, and then we'd go back to the old routine again. But I didn't have any set schedule now.
What would be the typical arrival time for you in the mornings?
I would get here by 9 and usually leave after 7.
Would you have had the television set turned on during the course of the day to watch any of the administration's
speeches? Oh, sure. Yeah, I had about 4 television sets in the office. They were just taken out. That's why the office looked so big. And a color set, 3 black and whites, and so that I could monitor several things at the same time if I had to. And generally that was, if I had missed an interview that I had set up, I'd want to call up Walker and have them run it.
The purpose for monitoring the programs was that to see how the spokesman presented
mm-hmm.
themselves.
That's right.
Would you have then offered suggestions to them?
Sometimes.
For future?
Sure. And they might seek guidance prior to an interview, for example. Suggestions on how they ought to conduct themselves and how they ought to, maybe what they ought to wear in terms of clothing. A little about the newsmen who would be asking questions, what do you think they're going to ask? You never know, but I'd give them my advice on it.
On those occasions where the administration spokesman would appear at a regional television program, would you on occasion get videotapes of that?
Rarely.
Well, then it would be fair to assume that at least 1 or 2 hours of any given day would have been spent watching television programs. Is that right?
I'd say maybe that would be correct, yeah.
So that the afternoons would be given over to any number of things?
I would do, when I took over the responsibilities of Mark Good, I would be out of town frequently doing advance work on a presidential visit, for example. And my assistant, Helen Collins, and Joan Seeley would handle the television scheduling in consultation with me if they had a question. They had been doing it so long that there would be no problem in letting them go ahead and scheduling people. And if they had a question, they would consult me on it. And when I was here, I would work with them in that area.
Your role on the advance teams would have been to see where the president was going to appear and what sort of television coverage and camera angle and position?
Pretty much. Yeah, we would pre-advance a stop, and what that means is that you would go out with the initial group of individuals who would be concerned with various facets of the president's visit. If it's an overnight, the Navy mess representative would go, and the doctor and so forth, and I was the television consultant, and I would offer advice when I think it was required. If I had something to say, and in terms of maybe the president would speak from this side of the football stadium rather than that side because the sun would be in his eye or in the camera and so forth. And I would get involved in that way and usually go back a couple of days before the president got there and work with the individuals who might be doing the television program and to see that they covered it adequately and they got what they needed to do the job. And by my working with the White House group, I could get things done that they might not know how to do. So it was just to give them a hand in covering the event.
From the point of view of a layman, I would have absolutely no idea how difficult it is to set up for a presidential appearance before television cameras. Is it such a difficult thing that you have to have the cameras positioned in rather specific places?
Well, each event is different, depending on the time of day, time of year, the location, of the event itself, indoors, outdoors, it's all different. There are all kinds of problems you run into in different rooms. The chandeliers might be too low and you got to move the cameras in closer or else you don't get the chandelier in the picture. All, so it's hard to answer. Each event has to be looked at in a little different way because it's a different environment.
It's not just a matter of bringing in a television camera and plopping it down.
Yeah, that's right.
It requires a great deal of time and effort, planning, and experience.
That's right.
Well, your days then, or your weeks, I should say, didn't stop on Friday.
Frequently, I would work the weekends. Sure.
Would you come in to watch the Sunday talk shows here?
No, I would. Well, when we had a major spokesman on a program, I would generally go to the studio with the individual.
And that would be just to give him.
Well, I think to aid if necessary, and just to maintain contact with the people on the program. It's a good opportunity to go down there and say hello after you've been speaking with them on the phone for a couple of weeks.
So your acquaintance with the various television companies would have been very close.
Yes, I'd say for the most part.
And you would have been in frequent contact with all of them.
Right.
Where could we reach you in years to come, Al, by mail? Do you have any sort of a permanent mailing address?
1219 Forestwood Drive, McLean, Virginia 22101. That's my residence. And shortly be going over to the USIA, hopefully as early as next week. And I'd be working in the television and motion picture division. And, my office will be at 6th and D, as in David, in the Patrick Henry building. but I don't know my telephone number or office number.
You're undoubtedly a member of numerous professional associations or organizations that you will continue to be a member of, right? Are there any that come to mind? Again, if we lose track of you at some point here.
Let me think of the best way to get me.
Alumni Association? In-laws?
Well, I guess the University of Miami, Florida Alumni Association, probably the NORA would be reached. I keep in touch with them regularly.
It seems like all of the universities track their alumni.
Yeah, so they do a pretty good job. I'll get back there for homecoming next month, as a matter of fact.
Well, as you can tell from the questions I've asked, it's kind of a shotgun effort on our part, a fishing expedition, just to try and get an overview of what the person did, his activities, who he dealt with, and how much documentation we can expect to find in the files. Based on what you say, there won't be much in the files that will reflect your activities. At least we know that now, and we won't be misled by finding few documents and wondering, gee, is this all? But I think as time goes on, if we attempt to analyze or study the television effort of the Nixon White House, you would be a prime person that we should touch base with to help explain why this person went on, why this person did not go on, perhaps, or why there was no television effort made in conjunction with this program or that program.
Mm-hmm. So right.
You would be able to not only give us the logistics, but perhaps policy background.
I would think so. If the years don't fade too fast. Yeah.
That's one of the problems we're going to encounter, I'm sure. Well, is there anything else that you think we should know at this point?
Yeah, that covers it pretty basically.
Well, I'll cut this thing off. And